Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Make sense.
Make it make sense today. Something that's very close to Khomoto.
Oh, my word.
Because she's the one who uses that root. So she's the one who actually raised this one. What's the update, obviously, on the Lilian Ngoyi Street, Bray Street reconstruction? Khomoto, it's you.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see so many buildings going up and you see the progress, right? Yeah. There's this, I think it's another China Mall being built along Main Reef Road. And you literally can see day by day that there's progress. Mm. But I don't know if commuters or people that are in the CBD feel the same way where they are seeing... Every month they're like, oh, this is progress. Oh, this is progress. But maybe we were not there immediately after the aftermath. Maybe there is progress. But I saw very little of it. Some roads are still closed.
Yeah, and that's where we pick it up, of course, to get the answers and get to the bottom of this. On the line, we're joined by CEO at Johannesburg Roads Agency, Zweli Nyathi. Mr. Nyathi, a very good afternoon to you. Welcome to the show. As we try and make sense of this matter, we consider the impact of the 2023 collapse and the lives that were disrupted. I mean, there was no power for a long time, as we also look at the impact of the infrastructure. What have you done to now improve resilience and underground infrastructure during this rebuild?
Good afternoon to your team and good afternoon to the listeners. Yes, we have come a long way since 2023. The Lilian Ngoyi project is currently at 72% complete. Remember, we promised the citizens of Johannesburg that by August, phase one will be done. And when we talk about phase one, we mean construction of service tunnels, which are a lot. There's a lot of infrastructure that's underneath, backfilling and compaction of earthworks, construction of pavement layers, which is at 50% as well. Installation of gas, heat, smoke detection, and ventilation system. In short, we're saying we also incorporated technology in our rebuild of Lilian Ngoyi so that we don't suffer the same fate in future. Mm-hmm. So really, we're moving forward and we're using the best of the best technology, considering that Johannesburg is 100 years old. So when that road was constructed, really, a lot of things were still the way they were in the past. But right now, you're looking at state-of-the-art road, and we want to normalize that in all our roads so that we have early sensors, early detectors, should there be an emergency. And we even have ventilators there. If you look at other first world countries, sometimes they breathe the manholes. You'll see some smoke coming out because there's gas building underneath and stuff. So we're avoiding future impact. We're using the best of the best in the industry. So we are really at 72%. We're ready to hand over as we promised in August.
Mr. Nyathi, maybe let me ask this. I know that you are 70%. That's quite a huge progress, as much as we are not seeing it on top. Like you say, a lot of the work has been happening underground. But let me ask this. Is this going to be now rolled out to the rest of the city? Because like you say, these roads have been built 100 years ago. So is this new technology, new way of building, especially since we've seen that it looks like there's another city underneath us, are these technologies being explored, even other streets that were not impacted by this gas explosion?
Exactly. With the recent opening of our asphalt plant, there's a lot of technologies in terms of how we do our asphalt, in terms of how it starts on, it gets stuck on the road, how we patch potholes, how we do so many things. So basically, we're looking at smarter innovation. That's why we have partnerships as well. And we also look at what other, environments are like and what do they use in terms of technology so that we learn from them. So definitely the technologies we are using are more like advanced and we're hoping that it will give us a longer lifespan. In other parts of the city, you would have seen that we're busy doing resurfacing. We just launched something in Hyde Park last week, where we're dealing with all the potholes in Ward 90 around the Bryanston area and other, because they said they felt neglected. But what we're doing, we're also rehabilitating the infrastructure. If you drive along the road, you'll realize there are water inlets. We call them KIs. most of the infrastructure underneath has collapsed because of the age and the impact. You'll also understand that since we don't have rail, a lot of that heavy duty or heavy haulage trucks are on our roads and they come in numbers. So what happens at the end, they affect the infrastructure. And you look at things that are happening economically, you have a whole lot of car washes on the sides of the road. The water with those chemicals affects our road and it washes it away. So there's a lot of factors which are damaging the infrastructure. And it's not only that. You're looking at other related infrastructure like traffic signals. If you look at R55, 3 months ago they chopped down everything. There's vandalism on, you know, on another level. But what we're doing, we're bringing technology that will make them stronger. And we're now even doing surveillance on most of our routes. The Greyston has just been up as well, which hasn't been working for 2 years and others. So we are definitely moving very fast to restoring infrastructure and restoring the dignity of our citizens, but also applying technology to make sure that vandalism doesn't happen again. But at the same time, we are comparing with the best of the best.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, because the concern, I always say, there's just too many people loitering in the CBD, and obviously I'm just scared that, you know, the progress that you've made, in 2-3 months time you'll be coming complaining about vandalism, people messing up the infrastructure, people stealing cables, etc. How are you going to deal with that?
We are working closely with our sister department, including public safety. So all the precincts and the infrastructure we are rebuilding, we're making sure that there's highest visibility, but we're also using technology to guard these precincts, and we have detectors. If anything happens, they will inform us on time at the control room, and then they will be able to deal with that. We have facial recognition cameras, we have motion detectors. Some of these equipment are fitted with sensors. So if you vandalize, really, it will tell us. But secondly, working with your economic development, there are certain zones where they are earmarked for hawkers and everything. So it cannot be that in the city, while we try to clean, people can just sit everywhere with cables, and it makes it look untidy. So we need sort of a control. We're not against SMMEs, but they need to trade where it's demarcated. It cannot be that it's free for all. You just put a table anywhere. Some of these things are against the law. It's actually infringing our bylaws. So we're going to go hard on our bylaws to make sure the city looks clean. We cannot take millions of taxpayers' money and then we build a new precinct and a road, and then the next thing we leave it to decay in less than a month or two. So we're definitely reinforcing on some of the processes and protocols that maybe were overlooked in the past.
Mr. Nyathi, as we wrap up the conversation, I'm glad you touched on SMMEs, with vendors and commuters alike affected. What are some of the ongoing steps that you're taking to minimize disruption and involve local stakeholders as you now wrap up phase one and move on to phase two?
I'm glad you asked that, because phase two is all about the stakeholders. That's like widening the pavements for walking, and the businesses alike, because they don't have pavements for people to be able to walk in. There's a whole lot of things that were happening in the city. But you'll see a new look, decongested kind of a city. We are reducing the lanes, because you find that in the CBD, people are driving at 120. You ask yourself if it's a freeway or what. Surely because they are spoiled for choice, there's so many lanes that are unnecessary. So we're promoting mobility. People must walk. We're creating safer spaces. We're going to green the spaces as well. It must be livable, just like other countries or towns do it. We have an opportunity to reconfigure our city to, you know, to compete with the best of the best, instead of having, you know, the inner city that looks like a freeway, just, you know, motor vehicles speeding up and down. So we're really looking at most of the aspects that makes a precinct livable, but also that sense of safety for the citizens. We're going to be also putting those cameras, having 24/7 surveillance, beefing up security. People need to feel free when they walk to these transport facilities. rather than, you know, fear of getting mugged at any given time, people loitering around not knowing what they are doing, they end up vandalizing stuff. So we are really working together with other entities and even the provincial government. So we are really blessed to be having this opportunity to, you know, to upgrade things. Mm-hmm. It could even have come at the right time. I mean, technology is so advanced. We are part of the smarter cities. So we want to make the city smart and livable, in short.
Okay, thank you very much. CEO at Johannesburg Roads Agency, Zweli Nyati.
Share your voice note now.
063-688-0959.
We got voice notes, guys.
You were supposed to tell us they are at 70% level. So when will the 30% be completed? Because for people like us who use public transport, it's a nightmare. Mm. We suffer. We struggle. Joburg, it's not safe. Even if they can put cameras, it's not safe. I take a taxi, go Ilof and plane, going to Rosebank. Getting to Ilof, it's so hard that you would actually find someone working behind you, not knowing whether they want to mic you or they're just passing. And those people who are sailing, you know, I'm sorry to say this, but mostly are foreigners. You can't even pass. Let's hope that the streets will be done by the end of the year. At least we'll be able to get off and go Ilof. You know, it's just frustrating.
I really wish them well. Because there's one street. Let's just go. When I join a Sonto, when I Scopo, when I ticket in a Lotto, when I textbook, yo, they must sort out the city.
I was just listening to the guy from the coach here in. Let me tell you something with regards to this RFP and RFQ and RFI processes. These people, they are delaying because they want to appoint Batubaba relevant to Bonine, Benefit and stuff. This road, I'm telling you, if they have given this to a contractor who's like experienced, who's been doing this work for a long time, this road could have been done long time ago.
Shame. Wabaga Ayanda made it make sense, Shame. He spoke so well. Thank you for that session. It was very informative. I hope everything goes the way he said they would.
Guys, I'm encouraged. I mean, the plans that JRA has, especially for road networks, remember, they mainly deal with road networks in the city of Joburg. I'm highly encouraged, but I do agree, even though I'm encouraged, I am cautiously optimistic because they do speak about cleaning up the city, making sure hawkers have a spot to sell. They can't sell everywhere. That is going to take real effort. It's not a monkey business, that thing, you'll clean up a city. I mean, getting rid of drug lords in the city, getting rid of buildings that are derelict, all those things, they can support the network ecosystem of Joburg, Ibeshap. But it's going to take real doing. It's not as easy as it sounds.
Yeah, that's why that guy even said, listen,
I wish them well. That's
no,
right.
Guys, you can't wish them well because you're also a South African. You're also a South African. It is going to be a mission, but it cannot be impossible. Yeah. You know, if people are determined to deliver, you know, it will be done. And it would be great to go to the city, man, and be comfortable
and
to go
walk
to the city. Yes, we want to walk.
And just walk. I mean, he spoke, Guy Onari, why are they taking so long? So if everything that he's saying is truly him being transparent with us, they had to do a lot of work underground.
Of course, yeah.
Because remember, this was a gas leak that then exploded onto Bree. So it's not like they just have to resurface the road. They had to secure all these gas pipes underground and all of that. And that takes some doing and probably expertise you and I will not understand to the gas pumps.
Where are those gas pumps?
Ecoli gas. I think they pump go Ecoli gas.
And the people that were affected, let's say you had a shop and then they explode a pump shop. Yeah. Do you have a right to sue?
Insurance.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone has insurance in the street. I don't think anyone has even thought of having insurance in that street.
Yeah. I don't know if it will be, if they can't prove that the gas maker was negligent. I don't know if there's grounds to sue. If it's a freak accident or it's almost, I don't know. Maybe,
if you're a hawker?
Maybe it's street, like a natural disaster. You can't sue anyone for
it. So, the concrete,
I don't think unali recourse, unless they can prove negligence. I don't think there would be, because who are you suing? The city?
Yeah.
They were not negligent.
But I need to sue someone.
Why? When I can sue, and I love little nobody playing it.
They were getting fed by this thing.
Sure.
So now I don't have anything to sell.
Without sounding cutthroat, that's why businesses have insurance. Because things can happen. There are things that can happen that can put your business at risk of closing down. Even though you didn't do it, the next person didn't do it. It's just...
a business that doesn't have insurance.
It just happens.
For everyone that has a business to say you need to have insurance. Because one of these days, you never know what's going to happen.
Absolutely.
Food stores, langapandle, abandabateng sukudla, ma hot dog, nanan. I don't think they have insurance.
I think you have just given insurance companies a business model.
Welcome to Drive 959.
There are so many hawkers. There can be a menial fee to the street hawkers. Bailung hor bakhona ba insured, and they are abiding by our bylaws. I think there's a business thing there.
Good luck, Homozam.
I know. I am an optimist.
You make a profit, yeah, 300 per week. Would like regular shelter insurance.
20 rand.
Good luck to you, Homozam.
20 rand.
Insurance at 20 rand.
Good
luck. Yeah. Share your voice note now.
063-688-0959. There's a rank there just by opposite pre-tax rank. That rank was built, I can tell you right now, it's been vandalized. The boom gates have been vandalized. And that rank has not been used. So when he's talking about taxpayers' money, that we won't let it get vandalized, that rank is an example of vandalism. So him talking about and what's going to happen? There's taxis which park on the side of the road. That time, it's a taxi rank. They are parked on the side of the road. They haven't done anything about that as Metro Police.
We could sit and say it's going to take long. It's not going to be done. It's challenging. But to be honest, guys, if white people were to come back into power in 6 months, CBD would be back to normal, because that would be their intention. That would be something that they really want to get done. And as black people, we are highly fearful of white people, so we would confirm, and I promise you the white old government would easily get this cleaned out. It's just that we are so scared of the apartheid regime. We are scared of being mistreated again as a black nation, but white leadership would definitely get this thing cleaned up, done, and these illegal foreigners out of our country.
Maybe we should take you to Cape Town so you can go and see Cape Town.
And it's the furthest thing from the truth. The DA once ruled Go Mochobek. We didn't see any huge difference in terms of the cleaning up of the city. And the idea that person will come. Skalbala, the city was clean prior because it was only used by white people.
Certainly.
It was not black group of people. Only white people were allowed to go and work in the city. Unless you were a entry-level worker, then you were black and you were there. So, no thanks.
Yeah, it's going to take some real doing, but it needs to be done, guys. We cannot live like this anymore. We need to get things done. We can't do things halfway, waste money in them, and then come back and reinvest money in them. It needs to be done once and for all. We need to get rid of these people that are overcrowding Ijozi, which is preventing us from being able to clean it. It just needs to happen, guys. Yeah, it's going to take a lot of money. It's going to take a lot of effort, but it needs to happen. It needs to be cleaned.
It's a good idea. They want to clean the city, but mutata uguti. The one ngathi we racist, xenophobic. Hey, I just saw him sin the code. Nyakchel, just saw him on your sin do. We saw born away.
The one that we're talking about keep la bayana. It's illegal. It's a bylaw. Ama bylaws about they're not adhering to it. So whether or she is talk or any number one, it's not melang abe lapo in the first place. So still anje uti low mama low ama keep nanani adhere to the regulations. Baya zenzela. Umuntu ufika uyahloma manje kuphela baya zenzela. And then magna into so is unforeseen, ama gas leak and whatever, they wanna cry. Foul. No, you are against the law in the first place.
Make it make sense. Make sense.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.